to Nice News. This is a broadcast about very unusual topics. I'm Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. On Nice News, we cover all types of information from all parts of the world. The program provides a timeout from the daily news that doesn't always cover the happiest of topics. So please, give us a listen. Who knows what might give you a laugh or cause you to remember something from another era or even make you smile, such as this particular article. New survey reveals the most popular cheese in the United States. And it's a classic. The article is written by Nicolette Baker. Gooey, crumbly, nutty sharp, funky, or creamy? Well, cheese has a delightful range of flavors and textures. This beloved dairy product is a staple in most American households, and a new survey reveals which varieties Americans love the most, with one emerging as a clear favorite. Cheddar is America's go-to pick in the cheese aisle, according to a report by Talker Research. A whopping 77% of shoppers said it's one of their favorites, followed closely by mozzarella at 74%. Because respondents could choose more than one cheese as a favorite, the percentages do not add up to 100. Parmesan is also a popular choice among consumers, earning the admiration of 64% of people surveyed. Searching for the best block of cheddar, the food and wine team is partial to the umami-packed Kerrygold aged cheddar, which emerged as a favorite following our cheddar cheese taste test earlier this year. Cracker Barrel's Vermont Sharp White and Tillamook Sharp Cheddar are excellent picks too. So which states love cheese the most? Participants were also asked to describe how enthusiastic they are about cheese, identifying themselves as a cheese enthusiast, meaning they eat it often, a cheese lover, meaning they eat it sometimes, a cheese dabbler, meaning they eat it occasionally, or not eating it at all. Cheese enthusiasts can be found nationwide, but the survey findings show that Wyoming residents are the most likely to appreciate an excellent wedge of cheese. They are followed by Illinois, Alaska, Louisiana, Oregon, and Mississippi as the five other most cheese-enthusiastic states. To collect its data, the Talker Research conducted an online poll of 5,000 Americans between March 27th and April 8th. They wanted to make sure to include 100 respondents from each of the states. The survey was commissioned by Undeniable Dairy, an industry advocacy group that promotes domestic dairy production. Consumer insights from the Dairy Business Innovation Alliance indicate specialty cheese evokes feelings of comfort, happiness, and connection, suggesting it's not just about the taste, but it's also about the experience and feelings that it can evoke. Chad Gaylor, Vice President of Product Research of Dairy Management, Inc., tells Food & Wine, "Consumers increasingly want foods that are enjoyable and satisfying, and broader food culture trends to support that shift." So what are the most popular cheeses in the U.S.? A majority of respondents named cheddar as their favorite cheese. Cheddar is versatile, with a flavor profile that pairs well with a wide range of dishes and appeals to a broad audience, which might explain why it emerged as the most popular cheese. Following fellow favorite mozzarella and Parmesan, melty American cheese snagged the fourth spot overall. 63% identified it as their favorite, while tangy cream cheese is a go-to for 59% of the consumers. Talker Research polled respondents about their favorite occasions to eat cheese, too. 77% of the people reported that cheese is a snack time favorite for them. Beyond that, a whopping 91% said that they enjoy eating it at meals as a topping or as an extra ingredient. Younger respondents showed more enthusiasm for cheese than older survey participants. Just over 60% of Gen Z identified as cheese enthusiasts, compared to 54% of Gen X and 44% of the baby boomers. Gaylor, who worked at Kraft Foods, Inc. for 16 years, points to social media's influence on food preference as a driver for this demographic change. He also notes that charcuterie boards, grazing tables, and wine and cheese pairings align with Gen Z's growing interest in elevated but approachable food experience that's feeling free socially, experientially, and shareably. In other words, the younger generation wants us to all be eating more cheese together. That's a mission we can get behind. So, cheddar is at 77% liked, provolone at 54%, Colby at 52%, and Swiss cheese at 51% liked. This article, written by Nicolette Baker, new survey reveals the most popular cheese in the U.S., and it's a classic. Well, we move on from cheese to archaeology. A weird result from an already weird hominin, archaeologists discover all Homo naledi skeletons found in South African cave are female. Christina Kilgrove writes the article. For the first time, archaeologists have analyzed the genetic material of Homo naledi, a mysterious 300,000-year-old relative of modern humans discovered deep in a South African cave system. What they found is unique in human evolution. Every skeleton known from the species is female. I think it is fair to say that they are surprising. Lee Berger, a National Geographic explorer in residence, told Live Science in an email. But H. naledi has always been an enigmatic discovery. Since 2013, Berger has headed the Rising Star Project, which discovered nearly two dozen skeletons of small-brained, two-legged creatures, which the research team named H. naledi, within a cave system in South Africa's Cradle of Humankind. Research over the past decade has revealed that H. naledi was unusual for having a small brain and upper body, similar to earlier australopithecines like Lucy, but a face, hands, and lower limbs that were more human-like. In 2023, the Rising Star team suggested that H. naledi may have used fire in the cave, and in 2025, they advanced the controversial claim that H. naledi buried their dead. Now that's a complex behavior, unexpected for a human relative with such a small brain. But a new study of H. naledi teeth, published June 24th in the journal Cell, may bolster the team's interpretation of the Rising Star Cave as a burial site. An international team of experts studied 20 teeth from H. naledi skeletons using proteomic analysis, a minimally destructive technique that sequences genetic material from ancient protein. In analyzing the H. naledi teeth, the team found teeth suggesting that all of the skeletons were from females. These included the nearly complete skeletons of other discoveries assumed to be male. The result is surprising because there are no known ancient human cemeteries or collections of non-human primate skeletons that contain only females. The most likely reason for these robust results are, in my opinion, cultural selection after death for burial by sex and perhaps gender, Berger said. There are many past human societies with sex-specific burial practices. Study co-author John Hawkes, a paleoanthropologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, said, but the H. naledi skeletons are older than any known Neanderthal or modern human burial site, and it's remarkable to see that they may all be female. This article, written by Christina Kilgrove, a weird result from an already weird hominin. Archaeologists discover all Homo naledi skeletons found in South African cave are female. Moving from ancient times to present day, study shows electric vehicles are already improving air quality for everyone. Exciting news from the world of climate science. A recent study published in the Lancet Planetary Health Journal has provided uplifting evidence supporting the positive impact of electric vehicles, known as EVs, on air quality. By utilizing satellite technology, researchers have been able to measure the significant reduction in air pollution attributed to the increasing use of EVs. Between 2019 and 2023, a dedicated team of scientists conducted an analysis of nitrogen levels across nearly 1,700 zip codes in California, the leading state in electric vehicle adoption. Their findings are encouraging for every additional 200 electric vehicles on the road. Nitrogen dioxide emissions decreased by an impressive 1.1%. Lead author of the study, Sandra Eckel, a public health professional at the University of Southern California Keck School of Medicine, expressed her enthusiasm about the results, calling them remarkable. She highlighted that even though California is still in the process of fully electrifying its transportation system, the research already indicates that the shift toward electric vehicles is having a tangible positive effect on the air that we breathe. Eckel emphasized that cleaner air isn't just a theory. It's already happening in communities across California. This is a wonderful testament to the progress being made in improving public health through cleaner transportation options. The innovative approach taken by Eckel and her colleagues holds promise for global application, encouraging researchers around the world to join in. They noted, quote, satellite measured nitrogen oxide could be used across the globe to assess changes in nitrogen oxide from ongoing climate mitigation efforts to reduce fossil fuel combustion. This data could inform crucial policy decisions aimed at protecting public health both now and in the future. This article, study shows electric vehicles are already improving air quality for everyone. Now we take a look at a bird that went extinct in Japan and has now returned to the wild decades later, and the royals were there to watch it soar. The article is written by Mona Thomas. Eight white birds took flight over a north-central Japanese city, a sight that hasn't been seen in that part of the country in decades. According to the Associated Press, the crested ibises were released into the wild in Hakui City in Noto region on Sunday, May 31st. During a release ceremony led by Crown Prince Akishino, his wife Kiko, and other officials. The eight ibises were raised at a conservation center on Sado Island in neighboring Niigata Prefecture as part of a captive breeding program. 10 more birds are waiting to be released at a later date. The birds, known as toki, are recognized by their white feathers, vivid orange-pink hues beneath their wings, and bright red markings around their eyes. Hakui City in the Noto region is the last place the birds were ever observed in the wild. Their road back from extinction is a decades-long story. According to The Independent and ABC News, the species vanished from the island of Honshu in the 1970s, driven out by overhunting and environmental degradation. The last native Japanese crested ibis died in 2003 on Sado Island. The comeback began with an unlikely assist from China in 1999 when the country donated a pair of ibises. According to the country's environment ministry, that donation later led to the first crested ibis chick born in captivity in Japan. Mona Thomas wrote, "A bird that went extinct in Japan has returned to the wild decades later, and royals were there to watch it soar." A lawnmower makeover blossoms into $685,000 of help for a woman in need. A simple act of kindness in the front yard has grown into something extraordinary. Spencer, the creator behind SB Mowing, has once again shown how generosity, hard work, and a mower can change a life. After learning about a woman named Debbie who was facing serious hardship and an overgrown lawn she could not afford to fix, he stepped in to help, and thousands of people followed his lead. Debbie was introduced to SB Mowing's YouTube audience in a video posted Friday. Like many people Spencer helps, she had a yard that had become unmanageable, But behind the tall grass was a much deeper story of loss, stress, and financial struggle. Debbie has had one of the hardest stretches of life imaginable, and she's been carrying most of it alone, S.B. Mowing wrote on a GoFundMe created for her. Her difficulties began when her husband was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and told he had 90 days to live. Debbie became his caregiver until his passing. While grieving, she also endured another setback when a contractor she had hired for tree work accepted a $2,000 deposit and never returned. The GoFundMe described even more of what she has been carrying. A neighbor wrecked her car and didn't pay for it. She fell 3 months behind on rent, put off dental and health care she genuinely needs, and there were days when she and her dogs went without food because she simply couldn't afford it. According to KAKE News in Wichita, the connection began when an Uber driver who had taken Debbie home from the grocery store reached out to Spencer to share her situation. Soon after, Spencer and his father arrived with their equipment and spent 2 full days transforming the property. They cleared away years of overgrowth, hauled the debris to the landfill, and restored dignity and order to the space around the home. Their help did not stop at the lawn. Debbie had gathered items she hoped to sell in a yard sale, but Spencer and his father took them to Habitat for Humanity instead, sparing her the work and returning with the money. Then SB Mowing nonprofit, SB Mow It Forward, paid Debbie's 3 months of overdue rent. Spencer also launched a GoFundMe, and the kindness quickly multiplied. The fundraiser went viral, bringing in $685,000 through more than 22,000 donations. The full amount has been placed into a trust, with Debbie as the sole beneficiary. What began with one person noticing a need became a remarkable wave of compassion. In a world where social media is often criticized for division and distraction, this story shines as a reminder that online communities can also rally around goodness, generosity, and hope. This article, A Lawn Makeover Blossoms into $685,000 of Help for a Woman in Need. Kansas City Brothers Lemonade Stand gets a boost from police, firefighters, and neighbors. Every summer, brothers Perez and Jackie Reese bring a little sweetness to their Kansas City neighborhood with a lemonade stand at 3rd and Webster. Their cheerful setup serves lemonade, Kool-Aid, and snacks, and over the years, it has become a familiar warm-weather tradition for people nearby. In early June, however, the brothers' stand received unexpected attention when a neighbor called 911 to report the children were selling items without a permit. What happened next turned the moment into a bright example of community care. Officer Morgan Reed, a local police officer working an afternoon shift, was among the first to visit the stand. She did not come to shut it down. Instead, she came to support the boys and help spread the word. "I was calling everybody. Yeah, I was just calling everybody. Hey, make sure you guys stop by the lemonade stand," Reed told KCTV. Then, just whenever they were busy, a couple of people were able to swing by. The invitation quickly grew into something much bigger than a few visitors. Police officers and firefighters from across the area began showing up to buy lemonade and Kool-Aid. As first responders stopped by, Brothers Money jar filled up fast. Within just 30 minutes of Reed reaching out, Jackie and Perez had made $280. The visit became even more memorable when officers gave the boys stickers for their shirts, making them official police officers for the day. The brothers were also invited to attend a free boys and girls football camp hosted by the Kansas City Police Department on June 6th. "It means a lot," the brothers said. As the story spread online, people around the country celebrated the outpouring of kindness. "I'll bet the person who made that original 911 call was watching all this and seething," one Facebook user wrote. "It's ridiculous to try to discourage young people who are trying to improve themselves in their community." Another person shared a hopeful wish for the boys' summer business. "I hope they get a lot more customers and have great summers." Other noted that the brothers' stand appeared to be protected under state law. Due to the recent Kansas lemonade stand law, House Bill 2599, minor-owned intermittent businesses do not require government permits or business licenses, one Facebook user explained. The law was explicitly created to allow children to operate small businesses like lemonade stands, lawn mowing, or craft tables without having to navigate complicated commercial red tape. Reed returned the next day and spent another $40 at the stand. She told KCTV that this is what the community policing should look like. For Perez and Jackie, the encouragement meant more than strong sales. Their goals for the money were thoughtful and personal. I just wanted to help the homeless and buy myself a new e-bike because they had been my dream since I was little, Perez said. Jackie shared some of the money would also help buy diapers for their nephew and niece. The brothers plan to keep their lemonade stand open throughout the summer, and Reed said she would be happy to visit again. I think for a lot of us, we're kids growing up in the city, she said, and this was the thing that we always look forward to as kids, these friendly police interactions. This article, Kansas City Brothers Lemonade Stand, gets a big boost from police, firefighters, and neighbors. Our next section is called Only in America. A Colorado woman's health insurance claims are being denied because her name is too long. The trouble began when Carrie Ann Weinberger Morneau switched Medicare Advantage insurers last year. The new insurer truncated her name to comply with Medicare characters limit, creating a mismatch with her Social Security records. Weinberger Morneau said she's now considering changing her name to something shorter, but feels, I shouldn't have to. And then, male-only gyms are springing up nationwide, catering to Christian men in search of a lust-free environment. Mitch Parsons of Denver's The Remnant Gym says he founded the facility after growing tired of having female nakedness shoved in my face at other gyms. In Oklahoma City, Jeff Hambrecht said that without the temptations of women, members of this Proverbs 27:17 fitness can more effectively train to become warrior king and spiritual leaders. And good for the week? Thrift, after a hiker who accidentally impaled himself through the torso with a trekking pole near the summit of Montana's 12,800-foot granite peak, spent 6 hours descending the mountain rather than spring for a pricey helicopter rescue. He said, I knew it wasn't deep, shrugged David Sipadi, 32, a wound nurse at the hospital in Billings, Montana. Aging Lotharios. After scientists discovered that sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra, may help slow the spread of cancer. The effect was observed in the lab, but an analysis of health records also found an association between Viagra use and higher survival rates for some cancers. And here's just a weird story. It's called Cold Feet. Cold feet after the arrest for arson of a Utah bride-to-be who, on the eve of her wedding, allegedly set fire to the church where she was set to marry Lenita Moreno, 25, who was also charged with retail theft because the lighter used to start the fire was allegedly shoplifted from a hardware store. Now, that's a very weird story. And now we move on to... It must be true. I found it in the tabloids. Two Utah sisters who checked into an Airbnb rental in San Diego were shocked to find themselves depicted in a framed beach photo hanging on the wall. They were very creeped out by the eerie photo, which also captured their father and other siblings, said Aubrey Burrell. It felt really strange. She and her sister later learned from the host that the home had been decorated by a local photographer who takes aerial beach photographs and happened to capture them on a family visit 10 years earlier. We remember the swimsuits, Burrell said. Amid punishing temperatures in the summer, a Japanese company is marketing a personal cooling booth that's been dubbed a human refrigerator, roughly the size of a vending machine. The Do Hyman box has an internal temperature of 59 degrees and air jets that blow 41 degrees air at the seated occupant's head, shoulder, and back during 5 to 10 minute cooling sessions. The device, which retails for about $9,200, is designed to be used at factories, farms, construction sites, and outdoor festivals. And finally, a wheelchair-bound man struggling to get across a busy six-lane road in Jonesboro, Arkansas, was whisked to safety by Spider-Man. Christopher Helenthat, 20, was driving home in a Spidey costume from a superhero-themed event when he saw the man struggling to get his car across the wide road. Helenthal ran from the Jeep, called out, "I gotcha," and quickly pushed the man to the curb before the light turned. The Good Samaritan said he was thinking, "I'm wearing this suit. It's going to be pretty funny." Police released a security camera video of the rescue and called Helenthal a true superhero. And these all come from It Must Be True. I read it in the tabloids. And here is the innovation of the week. When researchers at Carnegie Mellon University heard about the double earthquake disaster in Venezuela last month, they immediately knew that their robot snakes could help in their hunt for survivors, said Jeremy Sue in Ars Technica. Equipped with a video camera and operated remotely, the slithering 4-foot-long bots can squeeze through tiny spaces to search deep within fallen building debris. Each snake is modular in design, with individual body segments that can be swapped out and easily replaced or upgraded. And the software algorithms enable the robot to autonomously coordinate the body segments for the appropriate body movement. The scientists have developed different versions of the snake that they say can be used to explore archaeological sites, swim underwater, and even assist with minimally invasive surgery. That's the innovation of the week. And here is the quote for today. If you're lucky enough to find a way of life you love, you have to find the courage to live it. So said John Irving. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's articles. Please join us again next time when we cover interesting and uplifting stories on Nice News. This has been Joyce Vesper, your volunteer broadcaster for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be well and be happy. Bye-bye.